off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What kind of old McDonald bull is this?
He saved my life. I couldn't just leave him there with no one to take care of him.
This thing is not going to get on the plane.
Why?
FAA regulations.
There are no FAA regulations about pigs on private planes.
No, there are.
Seriously?
Get rid of it.
No way! No swine left behind.
Do I think that this will ever happen to me? Maybe when pigs fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me.
Maybe when pigs fly.
And Captain Dennis. That was just bad timing how that happened, I think, there, Dennis. Said it was nothing.
Yeah,
take
pigs
that.
Fly.
You'll float too.
Thank you.
No,
appreciate that.
Was, I didn't plan it that way. I swear. Anywho, let's move on to the latest aviation news and information. We got some interesting little tidbits to share. I don't know what this means, but ForeFlight and Boeing have separated amicably. Is that what they say or what?
I guess that's a good way to put it. So Boeing, you know, obviously has been under a number of challenges lately. And, you know, there are a lot of costs from holdups with the 737 MAX and their 777X and things like that. And so they actually looked at what they could do, you know, what made economic sense to them. Mm-hmm. And they actually wound up selling off several of their software acquisitions.
Right.
So basically Jeppesen, which is, you know, worldwide databases and things for aviation data sources, and ForeFlight were a couple of the key pieces that they sold off to a private equity firm called Thoma Bravo. And so now ForeFlight, Jeppesen are operating basically independently of the mothership Boeing. So what does this mean? Well, I don't know, but a lot of money was changed hands. But we've been assured that, you know, the prices aren't going to suddenly increase. And, you know, maybe they'll have a little bit more autonomy, you know, working as a startup mentality again, as opposed to being under the big corporate umbrella of,
right,
you know, a major company like Boeing.
And when that when Boeing took them over a few years ago, there was a lot of chatter like, oh, boy, this could
here it
be,
comes.
Yeah. And it never really happened.
Welcome our corporate overlords. Yes.
Yeah. But they seemed to go fairly smoothly. I didn't see any major increases or anything like that. They seemed to be plugging right along. So I don't think this will end up being a bad thing. And, I think we're probably just going to see more of the same. They kind of have they stand alone as a very valuable company and product that, pretty much every pilot on the planet's using these days. So we'll keep an eye on it, but they're going through some internal changes in that regard. But I just got a feeling the end user, there's going to be more of the same. They're just going to keep plugging along. We know the people there and they're pretty dedicated to that whole platform and what they're doing to try to just make it better and better for pilots around the world. Right.
Yeah, and we'll be reaching out to them in the very near future here because there's been a lot of new announcements in the ForeFlight products, things like their dynamic charts, the ability to not have to look at an approach plate anymore and really like to talk to them more about how they're making, you know, the systems more intelligent and easier for pilots to in IFR when things get really busy.
Yeah.
And even the other day, we were landing back into our air park and we noticed that the ForeFlight map for our airport now includes all of the residential streets. So I don't have to pull out Google Maps when it's, you know, late at night and you're trying to find where the taxiway turnoff is.
Well, there you go.
You know, little things.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, but once again, it's all those guys that are working on that software and on a ForeFlight, they're big time pilots. They do
this
because they love it. And then they get feedback from the end users and they're always incorporating updates and stuff like that. So that hasn't changed from what we've seen over the last several years. So, you know, we're kind of, you and I both discussed this a few years ago when Boeing kind of took ownership. It was like, does this mean this whole mentality is going to change? And it didn't. And I kind of doubt it's going to change now. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. But they're good folks there at ForeFlight. So we'll watch their progress for sure. Another big or interesting story. This is basically taking SIM systems to another level. I don't think we've ever seen this kind of approach before. Have we? Who did this exactly? A prince?
As a group? No.
It was a group.
You know, usually when you hear people buying a 747, it's either, you know, it's being given as a gift to our president or, you know, some Saudi prince is buying one to turn into their personal flying palace.
Right.
But this time around, it was a bunch of average folks like me. You know, this would be something I would want to do.
Like a flying club or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so what it is, a group of California flight simulation enthusiasts basically bought the upper portion of a 747 cockpit to turn it into a flight simulator.
Wow.
So they're taking the shell of the cockpit, mm-hmm. and they're going to be decking it out with, you know, X-Plane and whatever, all the hardware, and make everything as realistic as possible, making their own sim.
About that.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, are they doing this in a hangar or something, or somebody's house, or do we know?
I don't really know. The article didn't go into that a whole lot, but I mean, I just think it's awesome that these guys are going to be, you know, setting this thing up so they can have a modern two-person crew with glass cockpits and, you know, be part of the VATSIM network where they can pretend that they're flying, you know, 747 freighters with talking air traffic control and all this kind
right.
of stuff.
Right. I mean, but I assume, what will they do? Put the screens outside the windows just like you're in a real cockpit like that to make it just totally feel legit?
That's what I would do. I mean, the 737 simulator I trained in last year was basically set up that way, that they have a large projection dome in front of the cockpit.
Yeah.
So that you're looking out and you get that depth of feel as opposed to just looking right at a, you know, a monitor that's replacing your windshield.
Right.
But, you know, all of those are viable options. It'd be easy enough to be able to mount a, you know, a 55-inch LCD or something in place of the window or put projectors in. There's lots of options.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just the cool factor to say, oh, I'm working in a sim, but this is actually a real plane cockpit.
A sim made from a real plane. I mean, I thought about doing that with, you know, talking to the folks at like BAS or something like that and, you know, getting the front part of a Cessna or a Mooney that, you know, got wrecked or something like that and turn it into a sim.
Yeah.
That would be kind of neat.
How much did these guys pay for it? Did it
they,
say?
They didn't say.
Yeah. I wonder how they
probably got it at literally auction. Just the sheet metal scrap value is probably all it was worth.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. That's a great idea. If you got the space, that'd be the trick. I mean, that's taking, you know, turning your sim that you have in your office and taking it to another level for sure. I mean, yeah. You know, but just to say that it is actual real plane. I mean, the cool factor there is it's pretty cool. That's taking it to another level, right?
And I mean, as long as they're able to, you know, to make it work and it's realistic, I mean, it's good training, even if you can't log the time in it.
Exactly. All right. So we got one more story to wrap things up today, and that involves an airport in California. Seems like they make the news more than any other when it comes to talking airport stuff. So what happened? And which airport is it?
Hawthorne Airport, which is outside of LAX.
Yeah.
Basically, Archer Aviation, it was being touted that they purchased the airport, but basically they've sought out and acquired a lot of the ground leases where they basically control all of the Hawthorne Airport right now.
Okay.
And the reason they're doing that is in advance for the Olympics that are coming. They are the strategic air taxi hub for the Los Angeles Olympics.
Hmm. Is that good or bad? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
if they have control,
home of SpaceX as well over there, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
but I mean, they're looking at, you know, using it as a hub for their air taxi network and for test projects and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's the reason they did it is it's so close to many of the major venues like SoFi Stadium and the Kia Forum and the Intuit Dome.
Right.
So that they'll actually be able to, you know, commute from Hawthorne to the various venues is what they're hoping to be able to do. Because as we know, California traffic is less than reliable.
Well, exactly. And I guess the question is, you know, they'll take control of it. Hopefully, they'll be able to manage it better than, I assume, what was it, the city that owned it before, or do we even know, or who controlled it?
It's the city that's handling the master leases.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's turning Archer into, by default, the FBO that's going to be controlling it. So, right. I would imagine they would be a little bit more receptive to their own eVTOL aircraft and things like that than...
Yeah.
Say a signature flight support.
Well,
it's just used to dealing with corporate jets.
We'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully they'll keep it accessible to everyone who needs to use it. But those are the kind of things you need to watch out for. And that's what we do here at Just Plane Radio sometimes. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.